Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including app characters, leaked things, comic book reviews, and talking about the TV show, and just, you know, everything that goes on in the Morphin Grid. I am one of your hosts, Joel, and with me, as always, is my wonderful, lovely co-host...
Huh? Oh, hey, sorry, I'm typing up for Power Rangers RPG, because we're back today. Hi, I'm Kevin.
Yay! Oh, also, I'm so excited about that. But yay, we're here! We get to talk about more stuff! We took a brief hiatus, you know, just have a weekend off, because we can, because, you know, our show, blah blah blah. But, we've got a bunch of things to talk about, and we're really excited to dig into them and kind of give you our thoughts. But before we do, like we do every week... We want to take a moment and encourage our listeners to find a way that you can help out in the world. Whether that's, you know, donating time, donating money, you know, joining in on protests, you know, finding ways that you can be active in your community, or even just like, you know, beginning to educate yourself on any number of topics. You know, previously we've highlighted things like Black Lives Matter, which is still ongoing and still needs your support. The crisis in the Ukraine and the current and constant attacks on abortion rights in the U.S. that need to be prevented and stopped. So just, you know, take a moment, find a way that you can be a hero out in the world, and let's try to make this all a better place.
Precisely.
But with that said, we will jump into our first topic, which is going to be Legacy Wars. This week they announced it, and yesterday they dropped her. Vesper Vasquez, the Black Hyperforce Ranger, has entered the grid. And she is an epic rarity balance class character. And also, I found out this morning, it has been discovered that a skin for the Dragon Shield Pink Ranger of Chloe, aka Hyperforce Pink, will also be coming in the next Power Pass. But what did you think of this when this got revealed? I know you're not playing right now, but did you like get to see the trailer or anything? But what are your thoughts on this character?
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. I think Vesper is a much beloved character, and I love the design of Hyperforce. It's always good to see Hyperforce get representation. So I'm probably going to start getting back into the game soon because I'm starting to like play on my tablet again.
Nice.
So I'll probably get back in, but you know, it's great to see more Hyperforce representation. It's cool to see Chloe get something as well. I know sometimes the skins aren't always the best, but it's a great way to get a character that wouldn't normally be in the game. So, yeah.
With her skin, they at least, the bow on the Ranger, they made look like her Hyperion bow. So
that's good.
They at least took the time to do that portion, so I'm kind of happy with that. It sucks it's, like, assigned to a random character, but it's cool. I've played a little bit as Vesper because they have, like, the free little, like, thing going on right now where you can play as any character.
Oh, yeah,
and she is fun to play with, and I enjoy it, and I like the fact that they managed to incorporate both modes of her weapon. The shield and the axe. It's both of those in there. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
I've yet to be able to trigger her like special move because I get killed before then. But
because
I'm not good at it.
You said it.
Hey, I acknowledge this. I am not great at Legacy Wars because like it requires you to have timing well, and I sometimes don't time my attacks well. But that being said. I am tempted to spend money to try and get her because I've done two pulls so far, only gotten a single shard.
I mean, you know what? Considering how much I put into getting Izzy, who am I to judge?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm like, I do play it. I do at least keep up. Like, it's not like I wouldn't use her. I've got to decide, though. But yeah, I'm really excited. It makes me happy. Like you said, Vesper's a great character, especially from Hyperforce to use.
Yeah.
A great suit design. Just all around wonderful. Really happy she's part of it.
Yeah, but, for sure.
With that said, we'll move on to our next topic, which is something that dropped last night unexpectedly.
I got to break the news to you. I was excited.
Yes, you did. You got to drop that one on me, and I got to freak out. Unsure. So where did you see it originally?
I saw it on Facebook.
Okay.
And it was through Ranger Chamber. Someone found it on Ranger Chamber, and they posted it on Facebook.
Okay, because I saw their Twitter post then that they came up, but we haven't even mentioned what it is. It's Zord Ascension Project in Space Astro Megazord is
coming. Wait. Wait, you mean they're doing something other than Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
You know, who would have thought? You mean there was a plan for this all along?
What? No.
Insane. Can't believe it. Truly shocked.
No. All right, now listen up, fuckers. Y'all need to buy this. You said you wanted this, so buy it.
Anyway, to be fair, I have seen a lot of people saying that they will get this. Like, I have seen overwhelmingly pretty positive responses to it.
Yeah,
and
no,
it looks great. It looks great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So it also has the ability to transform between Megaship mode and Megazord mode. And like, honestly, I would probably want to get this just for Megaship mode alone. Like, it looks really good. But what did you think? Like, what were your initial thoughts when you like opened the link and saw everything? And
I mean, you saw my initial reaction. It was, oh no, because it's like, you got me. I am here. It's wonderful. The pictures you sent when I first looked at it, I just, looking at it standing there, it looks amazing. And then like Megaship mode, like you said, is just incredible. It looks great. Yeah. It looks so good.
Yeah. And you have the little cockpit for the Five and Space Rangers.
Which is like, the way they've done it for this is really cool. I really like how the where you open it and the way they've situated them. It looks really wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, like, they tried to do a blend of like the Sentai cockpit, but also the Astro Megaship cockpit. Like,
yeah,
which is really cool. So,
really smart too.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think this is a really good choice as well, because In Space is a beloved season. Like, everybody loves it, and in fact, I mean, I'm pretty sure it won't an anniversary for In Space be next year. Yeah, next year's the 25th anniversary for In Space, I think.
Nice. Makes sense.
I feel like it is. Yeah. So. I think it was a smart choice. I think it was really good, and I'm excited to see how much it costs, especially considering that this is more of a single unit instead of like five pieces into one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be curious about the price too, but I mean,
you don't care. You're like,
yeah,
you've already decided.
Yeah, it kind of purchased itself whenever I looked at it, and I was like, well, I'm getting this thing. It looks great, and also, I do want to talk about the one shot of it with the shield and the sword. It looks incredible. Yeah. Like, I know you talked about the mega ship mode, leaving it in that. I want to pose it. Like, I immediately, like, I want to get it in Megazord mode. I want to pose it. And that is something I would not say about most Megazords.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll give you that. Yeah. No, that's really fun. So thinking of the packaging, what do you want to see from the packaging, or what would you like to see?
That is a good question I had not even thought about.
Yeah, because we know with the ZAP that they're really trying to do, like, specialized packaging. And so with the Dino Megazord and the Dragonzord, we saw, like, the Rangers consoles, like, with the, you know, the light-up elements. So I think for me, I don't know, part of me would love to see it be, like, themed after the Deka and the Megaship.
Yeah.
And, like, have it, like, as you open it, like, you see the Deka eye or something like that. Or if they do something with like Chase into Space, where it's like you're in a hangar or something and you're opening it up, like, I don't know.
That would be cool.
Fun options. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be fine if you just open it up and it's just the Rangers sitting in the cockpit and them all just like posing towards the, like, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I would be cool if they did like art of it, like how there's that shot of it when it forms, like in the stock footage of it coming together. That'd be cool if they did that pose. I just, there's all kinds of things you could do with this one. I just, like, I'm so amped for this. Like,
Well,
I won't lie. I've been a little meh on the Zord Ascension project because it is just like
stuff you already
know. Dino Megazord. Yeah, well, I don't know the Dragonzord, but I mean, it's just like, it's stuff we've seen before, and it's like, okay, yeah, those are cool designs. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's cool to see them interpreted again.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is exciting because it is just something different. And also, like, I feel like we've had an Astro Megazord on the docket since Saban owned it. Like, because wasn't that the rumor for the longest time with the Legacy line, was like the next Legacy Zord would have been an Astro Megaship? I thought
last I remember they were going to do Shogun Zords, like that was on the docket. Oh, okay. and then we would have been done with Mighty Morphin at that point. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a smart choice. The Astro Megazord is one of the more beloved Zords.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to really hopefully give a chance to show that they're doing more than just Mighty Morphin. And, you know, I think we're probably going to see them start to jump around a little bit and deliver more fan favorite Zords. And now I'm just imagining some of the possibilities, like a Titan Megazord ZAP. I think that would still be a lot of fun.
Okay. I'm glad that's where we both kind of mentally went, because I was also like thinking about it last night. I was like, well, what would I want? And my brain went to the Titan Megazord in Mystic Force. I'm just like,
yeah. Or a Dino Fury Megazord ZAP. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Even though we're currently getting it, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of another season where I would want that Megazord. Like, I would kind of like to see what the Jungle Fury, the Jungle Pride Megazord would look like.
That'd be a good one, yeah. That'd be a really fun one to tie into the posability. Yeah. I would say, for me, probably the Samurai Megazord.
Yeah.
Just
the folding
to see
capabilities.
See what they do with the folding capabilities, but also see what the posability on that one, because the Samurai Megazord robot suit is always very clean, and I've always liked that one a lot.
Yeah, it's a very good design. Yeah, I would love to see that.
I could see that one excelling, especially given what we got when it came to America.
One that's dumb that I would like to see, but because I would like to see the scale of it, is the Train Megazord from Lightspeed Rescue.
Yeah,
I want to see that massive thing get turned into a Zord Ascension. I just want to see how big it'd be, like $300 or $400, but I'd still want to see it.
I mean, we'll see. But I think this is definitely, we're finally starting to see the fruits of when they started building the team up, because we talked about this a few years ago when one of the lead Transformers designers came on. So it's really fun to see this come to light and be able to actually happen.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's my hope. Would be that fans look at this and understand that, like, okay, we can start to break out of Mighty Morphin. Like, but kind of the task of this then is, like, then you've got to, if you said you wanted this, you've got to either support it. Like, you can't be mad because it's not your season or the one you wanted. If you were like, oh, we got to get out of Mighty Morphin, then you've got to actually show them that this is something you would pay for. Otherwise, be prepared to see the Ninja Megazord, the Thunder Zord, the Shogun Megazord, you know? Yeah. All those old favorites.
Oh, God. The Ninja Megazord and ZAP would be so good, though. Like, that would be amazing.
It would. I would love to see how much flexibility you could put on the Frog Zord.
Oh, yeah. Not even the Frog Zord, but, like, the arms as well.
Yeah. Get
Damn
the Wolf
it.
Zord and the Ape Zord to actually be able to move.
Yeah, I would 100% pose it like they were posed in the fighting game on Super Nintendo. Like,
yeah.
No doubt in my mind, yeah.
It would be cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, for sure. No, this is good. This is a good conversation. What are you talking about? No, anyways.
You know, yeah. My wallet's weeping already, so it's fine.
I mean, again, as much as this was, like, locked on to me, if they ever do a Ninja Megazord, it is, like, immediately them just targeting you from afar.
I mean, considering the fact that, you know, the ninja figure line, the metallic armor...
No, I know. Oh, God. We're almost so close to getting all those ninjas. I can't wait.
Yep. Go ahead.
Minus saying that they're supposed to ship on the 2nd and be here by the 7th is what it's estimating. So.
Yeah, mine are saying that too. And I'm tempted to just go ahead and start looking around Target and seeing if I can find any.
We may be in a Target today and I may look for them.
Might as well.
I'm just like, I kind of don't want to have to do the whole game of, like, canceling some. It's just... I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. They'll be in one is all I'm going to take solace on and try to look. But one other thing I did want to think about, we talked about the kind of positive reaction we've seen aside from some complainers in the Power Ranger fandom. My favorite thing is Ranger Danger had the exact same reaction I did. They just retweeted it with, oh no. And I'm just like, yep, we're all here.
Yep, we're all there at that point.
Yep. But that'll kind of wrap up our thoughts on the in-space Astro Megazord Zord Ascension Project figure coming soon in 2023. And we'll move on to kind of the review section of our episode for this week. The first thing we get to talk about is the world of comics and Godzilla versus Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 5 released, not this week, but last week. It it wraps up the entire story. This miniseries is officially done as of this issue. Mm-hmm. And it has a story by Cullen Bunn, art by Freddie E. Williams II, colors mm-hmm. by Andrew Dollhouse, and letters and design by Johanna Natalie. And the previous description for this one is, Godzilla and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers have faced a host of terrible foes. Now, though, they face their greatest challenge, the mighty King Ghidorah. Can the teenagers with attitude and the King of Monsters put aside their differences long enough to survive an attack from the three-headed tyrant? Find out in the bombastic conclusion to the most colossal crossover event of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, did you read this one, Kevin, is what I gotta ask.
Boy, you know, I definitely didn't forget that this came out, or that this was a thing. I definitely didn't read it, like, right as I was setting up and recording. But I mean, I read it.
What did you think of this issue?
It was a culmination of four issues of story events that came together into a somewhat conclusion.
Yeah, it...
But seriously. No, I... It was okay. It ended kind of how I thought it would. Where Rita would be defeated and Godzilla and the Rangers would save the day. And then they would all go back to their home dimension. Like, it just, it was all very much what I thought it would be. That's no shade to anybody on the team. No shade to Cullen. I did enjoy a few things about the issue, though. I did really enjoy seeing that we got to have the Mega Dragon Zord fight.
Yeah.
Which you don't get to see that. Yeah. Like, that mode is always, I feel like, the redheaded stepchild of the Season 1 Megazord formations, because you either go Dino Megazord, or you go Dragon Zord Battle Mode, or you go Ultra Zord. But Mega Dragon Zord is usually pretty ignored. So I thought it was really cool that they did that, and like, it was really nice to see that touch. It definitely fell into the trap of Tommy is Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Which I'm never a fan of that storyline. When Tommy comes back, they're back at, which granted they're back at full power, but like having Tommy be the reason they win is always, eh. You know, I did like some of the art, and yeah, I'll save my final thought for the final page in the issue. But what did you think?
Yeah. Which, okay, if I'm gonna like go ahead and spoil that, that's my favorite part of the whole book. It was that last page. I was like, oh hey, look,
because it ended.
Yeah, well, that because I think a lot of, I actually did enjoy this issue almost better than I've enjoyed any of the others, and I think it is because it kind of just, it took us somewhere, whereas it felt like so many of the other issues we were just like
stalling.
Okay, yeah, here we are. Okay, here we are. And again, it's just because like we've talked about before, there is no real emotional through line to this. Even the plot point that we said was like a really interesting thing of having this be about Rita be frustrated losing all the time didn't go anywhere because she just loses. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, they're
yeah.
The thing I think about, this was so by the numbers, and that's not a slight again to Cullen Bunn. I think Cullen Bunn did fine. I do think his take on the Rangers is still really weird, because there are just lines I would have shuffled to other characters, because sometimes like Billy is really jokey in a way that I'm like, well, that would be more of a Zach line. And there's just like, I don't know that they totally understood the characters, and I don't know that they necessarily were tasked with caring.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, slam these two together.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing of like, with a story, no pun intended, on this magnitude and scale, like, yes, Godzilla is the main focus. And, you know, I think one of the things I would have liked to see was maybe the Rangers interact more with like the humans in Godzilla's world, and they talk about the impact Godzilla has. You could even have an angle where the Rangers think about, okay, we always have these giant Megazord fights, but we never think about, like, you know, what happens afterwards. Like, seeing the damage that is caused by them. Like, there's different routes you could have taken. And I think, for what it was, you know, it's the equivalent of smashing two action figures together and calling it a day. But there were some really enjoyable things I did like, though. I actually really enjoyed, and this was like my favorite moment probably from the issue aside from the last page, was when Mega Dragon Zord appeared and Scorpina and Goldar were like, we should go protect Rita, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Goldar-Scorpina interactions that were written were really well done. Like, I really enjoyed that. And that felt very much like something out of the TV show, because they would always like teleport away at the last second. But let's talk about the final page. So, of course, in the story, Rita's MacGuffin to dimensional travel gets broken, and we find out that she's not in the Ranger's dimension, which, of course, is set up for if they want to do a sequel someday. We know that much. But Rita finds herself in the Nexus of Dimensions, and she sees dimensions with nothing but Godzilla and Power Rangers. But we actually get to see the canon three dimensions from the main series. Dragon's World, the RPM World, and the Dino Charge World. What did you think of that surprise cameo?
I was like, oh, hey, look at this. They acknowledge, like, something large about the Power Rangers. Like, it was just, like, a nice little treat. But it was also like, well, this is the last page. And it's like, I guess if you're going to do it here. It is like a womp, womp, womp ending for Rita. Like,
yeah.
I kind of wish there was something a little more solid in what Rita's ending was, but it was fine. It's a nice little Easter egg. Like I said, I think that more, that was more of where I landed positively because of how it ended. I was just like, okay, well,
yeah,
because of that Easter egg at the end, not so much how it ended, but like just the fact that they put that in.
Yeah.
It was interesting seeing like Freddie Williams' art for like Draken, the Dino Charge Rangers, and RPM Rangers. It's just like, okay, see, that's what that would look like.
I enjoyed it, but I also could not focus on it because Freddie literally just took Mighty Morphin promo shots and like traced, well, not traced them, but like he remade them with those Rangers. And it feels so, like the RPM shot is so unnatural.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you've got Dylan doing Kimberly's pose.
Hold on, wait. I gotta look at that. I didn't realize
like,
that.
Like, that's one of the Kimberly poses. That's like one of the Kimberly poses from the promotional shots. Yeah.
It is. Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And, like, it's just, it's so funny. Because, like, you can also tell the Dino Charge Rangers, like, he did that with them too.
Yeah.
So, in
fact. Well, yeah, because they're.
In fact, they also, oh, wow. I'm looking at it right now, and, like, Riley's helmet is Coda's helmet. And
yeah,
Chase has Tyler's helmet. I mean,
which is weird.
It's, I mean, it's fair. Like, art stuff, you know, you have to. I'm not an artist, so I'm not going to imagine. It's just, it's a funny little thing to notice. But yeah, I thought it was a good touch. I thought it was kind of neat. We'll see if we get a Power Rangers Godzilla 2 to follow up on the cliffhangers.
Yeah, so, I don't need it, if I'm being real honest. Like,
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, it's just, I think they had a good concept, and I think it was something that they could have delivered more on, and maybe it could be, you know, pandemic reasons, maybe it could be just creative differences, who knows, but, you know what, let's just bring on Mighty Morphin TMNT 2, let's go for it.
Yeah, that one, because again, I think the problem is we have that to compare to. It unfairly, but it is a crossover with another franchise. It manages to do the same amount of things and the same amount of issues.
Yes, yeah. But we also had Power Rangers Justice League.
Yes.
So it's not just again, the TMNT, but yeah.
Yeah, but like again, we've had enough crossovers. Like I would even say the Justice League one, while not great, still at least had an emotional through line and still at least like did things. Like, I want to, like, the thing I thought about at the end of this issue is our discussions each week about the previous four issues. And every time you manage to come up with a better concept for something to happen in the comic than what these comics did, you know, you were like, well, we'll have Robo or Mecha Godzilla and have it combined with the Dragon Zord. And I was like, well, that's really smart. That would be cool. And then, like, nothing wild happened. And I think, and while you don't have to always do that, that's the fun of doing
it.
It's like, if you're gonna do this, go crazy. Don't
like have a Morphin Master appear and transform Godzilla into a Zord and it becomes like a carrier Zord.
Yeah, or have like get, you know, Zordon trans, you know, do I need to see Godzilla morph? No, but would it be cool if he got like Ranger implements like on him so he could fight? Yeah, just like, I don't know, there's
have Godzilla grab the power sword.
Yeah, like,
and then he like lights it on fire with his flames, and then like he does a flaming sword attack. I don't know. Hey, Boom Studios, can you hire me yet?
I mean, I think this was all Dark Horse too, which might also be the problem. It probably wasn't the same editors that have worked on like the Boom
stuff, right?
Giving their input. Again, you know, there might have been limitations. We don't know. Again, it's just like, and obviously the thing with these like crossovers too is you have to navigate not only the Power Ranger licensing for it, but the Godzilla one, and there are concessions that each side will make.
Yeah.
You know, you can have this character do this, but they can't do that. They can do this, but they can't do that. And I'm sure there was some of that had to be navigated through.
For sure.
There might have been limitations that way.
Yeah.
But it just, it kind of, it's, like we've said, it was action figures getting shoved together with nothing really more to offer.
Yeah, and that's okay. Like, I know that's one of the things that we talk about is, like, it's sometimes there are things that are made that just aren't for you, and in this case, this was not for us. And that is 100% okay. Not the end of the world. It's not, you know, I'm not boycotting the brand. I'm not doing anything crazy. I'll air my grievances about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, it's a comic book that was not for me. So before we move away from this then, so on the topic of sometimes we have these crazy ideas to go with, if you could pitch a 5-issue miniseries, it does not have to be a crossover for Power Rangers. What would you, like, first thing that comes to mind, what would you want to pitch as, like, a series concept for a mini?
For Power Rangers, I would absolutely, I've said this before, I would do Divatox forming her crew, pre-Turbo, and it is her doing an Ocean's 11 style heist, and her getting Elgar, getting Rygog, getting Porto, and then them running a heist. Yeah. And it going horribly, because that's what happens to Divatox and her crew.
Yeah, but then it works out.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be my pitch for a miniseries in Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. What would yours be?
I think mine would be Rita and Zed post Countdown to Destruction and Rita's journey to becoming Mystic Mother.
Nice.
Like what gets her into the Mystic Realm? How does she get involved with it? And, you know, how does she redeem herself?
Very nice.
Like, what does she do? Like, I would like the idea to explore, like, what would you do when given that second chance on life? Like, what, how would Rita and Zed go about that? Like, you know, the now what of it all, and, like, how maybe they are intertwined into the history of the universe post Zordon era.
I have two others, but I don't want to say them on a recording and post them. We can talk about them afterwards. But
oh, that's boy.
Just a tease.
And if you want to find out what that is, you can join our fan house coming soon.
Yeah, Copia Patreon for us. No, we're not doing that. Not anytime soon, at least.
Nope, not until the bills need to be paid.
Exactly. But, you know, never say never. But anyhow, that'll kind of wrap up our discussion for comics. The next thing we have coming, which will drop next week, is issue 100. I'm excited and also very scared. Yeah, we're going to have, it's three things we're going to have next week. We're going to have issue 100. We're going to have Dino Fury season 2, part 2. And then we're going to have the panel on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's going to be a week.
Yeah, it really is.
Oof. Yes. But with that said, that'll wrap up comic talk. And we can move into our talk of Dino Fury. We've got the final episode of season 2, part 1, which is episode 11, The Copycat. Mm-hmm. It is directed by Robin Grace, with a story by Alwyn Dale and Becca Barnes, and a teleplay by Guy Langford. Mm-hmm. And the description for this one is, Javi must come up with a new tune after his song for a competition is stolen, and Mucus suggests a fresh way to beat the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did you think of this episode, and what do you think of it as the kind of mid-season finale for season 2 of Power Rangers? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it does a lot of what it needs to do. It's definitely an interesting take on, you know, some of the classic tropes of being in a competition, having a songwriting contest. Javi episodes are always a bit fun, too, because it gives Chance a chance to showcase his singing skills. So I always think that's a lot of fun, too. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. It is kind of, it's a weird episode because the Power Ranger side and the civilian side mirror one another, but they don't really cross over because the Power Ranger problem is not also a Javi problem. It's a Zeno problem.
Right.
So that's where I think it gets kind of muddled. I think it's a decent episode, but I think some of the great Power Ranger ones work in the way where it ties those two things together and makes, if not a point, at least has a commonality in what the resolution is to both. I do like the, like, civilian side with Javi and the singing competition and the complication there of bringing back the character of Blair Bartlett. Because that's a really good pull, and again, a thing that Dino Fury is really great about doing is, like, not just creating a new character to insert here. But, and, you know, I do I do love all of the interactions with Javi and Izzy's dad and them in this episode. That is great. Mm-hmm. I love seeing how far he's come in regards to Javi being a musician. Yeah. I think that's one of the greater plot points in this, is just how supportive he's become and how much he roots for them. I also love that we get to see the Garcia family trait is that they're quick to anger. Because there's a wonderful scene whenever the guy, whenever Blair begins singing the song that Javi was planning to sing, Spotlight, they all step up and are like, this is, you know, wrong. He's cheating. Mm-hmm. Izzy or Tessa is about to Izzy/Tessa is about to leap on stage and fight.
Yeah.
And their dad goes, hold on, I'll handle this professionally. And then immediately turns to begin yelling as well.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ooh, love that Garcia family trait is that they want to fight.
Yeah. No, it's great. I love that. And it shows, the chemistry the cast has and everything else. So.
Yeah. And they definitely had fun with the, singing competition by having, Pop have his own number, which I thought was really fun and cute.
Which, can we talk for a quick moment about how a woman almost got lobotomized by the violin?
Okay, but to be fair, this is also the same show where we've had characters escape a ship by farting, so it could be worse. It wasn't a bodily fluid.
it could, but you know what?
Okay, the funny thing about the judges, did you notice that they're all names of writers?
Yeah, I did. That was a cute touch.
Yes, it's very adorable. I love it to that.
Yeah. I think it was a good episode, though. I really enjoyed seeing Javi get to use the Dino Knight mode, which I know that was a clever way of them working around Ryu Soldier. And I know this was actually a pivotal moment in Ryu Soldier, I feel like, from what I remember. And you watched Ryu Soldier. So what did you think of seeing this episode get adapted?
I do think all of the stuff with Precious and the end of Ryu Soldier gets a little messy, mm-hmm. and I'm not a huge fan of it. I did like how they adapted it, and I did love Javi using the Dino Knight Morpher to transform.
Yeah.
I do wish he would have got his own version of the Dino Knight mode, though. Honestly, that's my call out to anyone who does fan art. Do Dino Knight modes for all of the Rangers. That would be really cool. I understand why it's 2 seconds that he wears the suit, and it's understandable why it works the way it does. I'm not mad about it. It's just, it would be cool.
Yeah.
But no, I really enjoyed that. It's the Rangers showing the Rangers actively figure out a way to solve the problem, which, again, we don't often get Power Rangers, which sounds bad, but 9 times out of 10 the Rangers just come up with a solution, and it's it happens in the moment. We rarely get to see them articulating, if we do this is how we can beat them. So I do like that.
You mean it's not like Rangers, your perseverance have unlocked the Ninja Storm Megazord mode of the Super Mega Four? We don't see that often, and I think about that a lot too. It's really fun, and I think, it just reminds me and makes me excited to see the second half of Dino Fury when it airs on Netflix next week. So
yeah. But we've danced around talking about, I think, the big thing of this episode, which is the debut of Void King.
Yes.
So we were spoiled about the Void Queen and Void King names prior to season 2. It was through a stunt cat listing, they listed out who played those suit actors, or the suit actors that played those parts. So we knew something was coming. We didn't have the context for it. And I think for the longest time we were Void King could be this, but Void King be that. We get, obviously, in this episode, confirmation that it is Tarek in a new form. Void Queen transforms Tarek into Void King. And there is this wonderful line that she has when she does it, where she's like, "You strayed, my love, but our paths are coming together again." And then Void King also has a wonderful line, too, where he's like, "Well, Void Queen corrected my traitorous feelings, and now I only serve her." And I'm just like, it's that, you have mentioned previously the thing that is kind of wonderful about the Void Queen and Tarek relationship, Sindara, Tarek relationship, is we see how she manipulates him and how she tries to control him. And we see this come to a head literally here, where she is literally exerting her will onto him. I love it.
I am really hoping that we end up seeing, and I don't know what we're gonna see in the end, obviously, but I would just love at the end of the day to see if they even explore a little bit further, like how they got to be at that point. Like, once we get backstory, just to talk about like how love corrupts and how it makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do. Because I'm sure that like this wasn't how they were originally. So
yeah. Well, and we've seen Tarek at least have an understanding of how far he's fallen. Sitara obviously has not. She is, you know, transformed herself into Void Queen, and you know this is the path she's on. I would also like to see it acknowledged, and I will say, you know, we've seen so many emotional things pay off in this show that it would surprise me if they didn't.
Yeah, for sure.
Go after that.
Yeah.
There's so much there to like play with, and like they've established so many interesting aspects to their relationship. It would be foolish to just leave that on the table.
Exactly.
But yeah, I just, the whole fight with like Void Knight and our Void King, and you know, him, you know, being able to use the Ranger's moves against them, it wasn't super drawn out, because I feel like in other seasons we would have had like a 5-minute scene of them trying every single thing against them, and then being like, it doesn't work. It's like, well guys, I think you can figure it out after the second time. Like, quit shooting it with a big gun. But I do like kind of how quickly this moved. I do like that even after the training, when Zato goes to fight Void King on his own, that later on is brought up by Javi as a negative. I do like that is not just left out of the table and been like, oh no, he did a heroic thing. Javi's like, no, you really should not have done that. But I mean, you know, it's over pretty quickly because we move on to like the singing competition again. I do just want to highlight some like key Solon moments though. My favorites are when they're, you know, she's taking care of the Rangers at the beginning, and like they're talking about how badly they were beat, and Izzy's like, yeah, it feels like I ran like 4 marathons back to back. She has this wonderful line where she's like, listen to Zato, no more than 1 marathon a day. Yeah. 2 at a push.
Yeah. I really go ahead.
When she wakes them up, she's like, also, some of you snore.
Oh yeah. No, my favorite was when she was giving them advice at the very start of the episode, and they were like, wow, you really got wise over the years, and she's like, actually, I read it from a fortune cookie, and some of you should learn how to clean.
Yes, mildly passive aggressive Solon is also very good.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. So,
And again, a fun little joke I like that Ion makes is when he gets up, he's like, "Well, how many years was I asleep this time?"
Yeah. No, it was all really good stuff.
Just very cute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
But you know, obviously, you know, as of the end of this episode, Void King is still out there. We've had, you know, them try this plan. I'm curious to see what season 2 has in store for us. You know, in terms of like mid-season finales, we didn't have anything like really clutch to end on, but I do like kind of that this is where we ended this part. And I know we're gonna go in some crazy directions if the descriptions for episodes are any indication.
For sure. For sure. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun, and I'm excited.
I am too. But you know, obviously once season 2 part 2 drops, you know, I don't know how, we may both binge it, I don't know how we're gonna end up watching all of it, but we will, you know, kind of continue the same pattern we did as before. We'll discuss kind of each episode one by one, just that way it's obviously more content for us, but it's also an easier way for us to, you know, dive deep into each of these moments that I'm sure are going to happen.
For sure.
But any other last thoughts on Dino Fury?
It is wonderful. I love it. And let's get more.
Yes, exactly. But with that said, that'll wrap up our show for this week. If you want to contact us, you can reach us on Twitter at MayThePowerPod. Or if you want to send us an email, you can email us at MayThePowerPod@gmail.com. Feel free to send, you know, comments, suggestions, critiques, topic ideas, things you want to hear us discuss. Or if you're interested in coming on as a guest host, like we've done with Zach, with Derek, with Aubrey, you know, they've all come on, they've all shared their stories, we've all got to gab about our favorite things about Power Rangers. So we're always happy to have more people come on.
Yeah.
But if you want to find me, you can find me on those social media at Thespis Punk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me on Twitter at BridgeMT3.
And, you know, before we go, you know, just want to say thank you guys for listening. coming in and joining us, hearing us gab about Power Rangers and all the wonderful things involved in that. We appreciate it. We thank you for taking your time and listening to a thing we enjoy getting to do with each other. But with that said, as always, may the power protect you.